In the name of one God, Holy Trinity, Amen. I should begin this morning with a thank you. If you've just rejoined us from our annual meeting, then you have some sense that we as a church have come through a very challenging year as a healthy and whole church family. And while the past year has been an enormous struggle, at least from this side of the pulpit, but I know from the other side as well, our mission is relevant in times of little and in times of much. We have some real sense of that. We know that what that mission is. We cover this valley with love, as deep as the snow has covered it with this past week's storm. And though we might execute upon that mission differently at different times, the mission stays the same. Following the example of Jesus, we embody the faith by loving our neighbors as ourselves and devoting ourselves to God, who we know to be love. That mission can animate and inform how we drive ourselves to work, or with whom we share our breakfast, or when we decide to embrace change in our lives, where we spend our free time, or what meaningful work we choose for service. The mission is as deep as it is broad, and you, church, are living it. Thank you. It is a beautiful thing to watch you in action. I'm going to turn back toward our story now that guides this beautiful mission that we have. And I want to point out where we are in the story itself. We heard this piece from Mark's gospel this morning. We remember Mark's gospel is the oldest and the shortest gospel. It's the simplest. Some might say so simple that it is austere. In Mark's gospel, there is none of the angels and the shepherds that we have from Luke's account that we're just leaving. And there's also the absence of John's introductory poetics and all of the flourish that he has. No flowers here. Hemingway is to Mark as Mark is to Hemingway. Mark narrates the story of the working man's Jesus. If Mark were to have breakfast in Jackson, I have no doubt in my mind that he would have it at the Virginian. And if you reference your bulletin, you can see that just 21 verses into the story, Jesus is grown, he has assembled his staff, and he is on the road beginning to exercise his primary work as a human, which is teaching and healing. And in spite of Mark's austerity, there are some clues that we need to pay attention to in regard to understanding just how God is rolling with Jesus on the ground, so that we might have a deeper understanding of how and where God might show up in our own lives. Remember, we're not just reading these stories because that's what religious people do on a Sunday morning. Rather, we're looking for ways and pointers for our own lives. This word is meant to be alive, and it is. So back to the story itself. We talked about some of this over the summertime, but it's always nice to have a reminder. If you were to look back at the top of our passage this morning, we see that it begins with the sentence, "And they went to Capernaum." And we remember from the summer, okay, it's a place. We've got to stop here and take a look and listen, because when we hear the name of a place, something's going on in the story. The story's trying to tell us something important. So what do we know? What do you know about Capernaum. Well, if you looked on a map, you will find that this place is on the northwest side of the Sea of Galilee, this big lake that dominates the northern region of this place that we're talking about. You would imagine it's quite lovely, and it is. And if you were to look eastward from Capernaum, you would see the Golan Heights, or this abrupt change in the geology of the land. And atop the heights at present day, you would see the land of Israel crossing the Syrian border, and not too far past that border, fertile land turns to harsh desert. In spite of the real beauty of this place, Capernaum, that's not what we're meant to hear when we hear the name Capernaum. What we're meant to hear is Jesus and his disciples traveled to not Jerusalem. Jesus and his disciples begin their work in Indianapolis rather than Midtown Manhattan. The story goes on to say that on the following Saturday, Jesus went into the local synagogue and began to teach. What we might hear there is Jesus went into a church in Indianapolis to preach rather than Jesus went into the cathedral in Midtown Manhattan to preach. So he goes into the synagogue and he preaches a sermon to the folks who showed up for church that Saturday morning, and he blows the crowd away. They say Mark's words, he taught them as one having authority, not as one of the scribes. Now this is kind of a big deal here. There's a distinction being made that we need to pay attention to. Not necessarily as people wanting to learn more about the Christian faith, but as people who want to embody it, as people who want to become love-spreading difference makers. So they make this pretty amazing claim about Jesus. They're saying, wow, this guy isn't like the other preachers we've heard, not like the ones that went to seminary and got ordained and did all the theology in grad school like we did. This guy, they're saying, this guy is all heart. He taught them as one having authority, Mark says. Jesus comes into this place on Saturday morning, and he preaches a message of wholeheartedness that resonates with the folks in church that morning. He preaches to them from the center of his own life and experience into the center of their own lives. We're meant to hear, wow, this is something new. This is something different and real and powerful and meaningful and beautiful and authentic. This is the real deal. You can see it. You can hear it. You can smell it. And you can taste it. Simple country preacher from somewhere outside Indianapolis comes in and drops the mic. Boom. And we hear that story told in that way, told in the way our ears are meant to hear it, and we get it. Because we've all been in the presence of someone or something that's real before. We ask ourselves, maybe, what am I? What are we meant to learn in the retelling of this story? How is simple country preacher done good, calling me, calling you, calling us to step into a more authentic way of living? It seems spiritually orchestrated to me that we would have this story to talk about on a morning where we spent extra time reflecting upon this last year and dreaming about next year, looking at our success and at our failure and at our hopes for the future. Having that refreshed opportunity that looking backward and projecting forward gives us in asking the question, who do we want to be? And I feel like I can speak for us in this regard. We want to be known in our valley and beyond as a church who speaks with authority, one that is rooted and grounded in our place, this beautiful valley, and rooted and grounded in love, our care for God and our care for neighbor. We aspire to, we want to be a church, a community, a faith family of real people doing the real work of love in the lives of other real people. That might include playing a tune on the organ, or warming someone who's cold with a new coat. It could be as creative as free ice cream from a cooler that is attached to a bike, or as traditional as soaking someone in need of prayers, prayers that are more than 5 centuries old. There is no need for us to pretend that we are institutional agents from a centuries-old denomination, because that is not our primary identity in God's work in the world. You and I are simply God's broken beloved, eager to share in the teaching and healing ministry started by a nobody preacher in a nowhere spot. I suspect that each of you knows that I wish we were crowded into this beautiful church of ours together this morning, so that I could look you in your eye rather than into the eye of this camera and let you know that I am so grateful to be a part of this work with you, with y'all, with us. Part of the work of St. John's Episcopal Church in Jackson Hole. Grateful that we are yoked in this mission. If you took any time to read the stories and look at the numbers and admire the images on the pages of our annual report, then you know that whether we are separated or together, we are doing the love work. We might never have imagined how, but it's happening. You are speaking and serving with authority from the heart. You are rooted and grounded in love. Love for God and love for other. Thank you, church. It's a beautiful thing to watch. Amen.